Go again.
3, 2, 1.
Time.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Movement for Life podcast,
where we talk about ways to keep us moving throughout our life.
My name's JR.
And I am Colby.
Hi, Colby.
Hello, JR.
Shall we drink some water before we get this started?
Yeah, let's do it.
Today's episode is brought to you by ASMR.
Water drinking ASMR.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I feel great.
Same.
I expected to maybe be in way worse shape today.
Sure.
But I feel good and I feel really good. I'd like to try to work out today at some point, which is
yes,
I'm excited for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just finished week one of the Open and it wasn't, in the moment, it wasn't wonderful, but it was a pretty... I think the workout itself allowed you to recover pretty quickly, depending on, you know, like how your lower back is, how you were moving through those movements. But overall, I'm feeling good. I worked out Saturday and Sunday. So, and it's Monday. Nice. So we're good.
Yeah, I did. I was actually really sore. Worked out. I don't know why, but I worked out really hard on Monday, Tuesday, and then I got roped into a workout on Wednesday.
Okay.
And so I was really sore on Thursday and Friday. I felt like I recovered pretty well, did the Open workout Friday night. I worked out Saturday, and I got some sunshine.
Nice.
This weekend, which actually felt really good after all of the rain and cloudiness, to just sit in some sun for a couple of hours, which is great.
Yes. But
staying moving basically throughout the weekend, which is great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just going to keep doing what I did last week and hope this week two of the Open is as nice to me as week one was.
That would be good. Yeah. I'm just realizing that I didn't play pickleball last week and I didn't
What's
do jiu-jitsu.
Pickleball. What? Pickleball's going to the wayside.
Well, I'm, you know, just being a little bit more cautious about getting hurt. And I'm like, it'd be a bummer to get hurt playing pickleball or doing jiu-jitsu.
I was about to say, how would one get hurt playing pickleball?
Oh man, there is some serious injuries in pickleball. I'll have to show you some of these. There's a guy who lost like his eyeball because of the pickleball.
Well, that's because he was probably doing something stupid.
Well, there's also lots of stupid videos of people getting hurt playing pickleball too. But
I see that.
You can ask Victor, I break his ankles, you know?
Okay. And you're on the same team? And that's what happens?
No, not when I'm playing against him.
Okay. Well, great.
What are we talking about this week?
This week, we're going to talk about mindset. Mindset as you are trying to either get into working out or stay with your fitness regimen, or mindset while you're actually working out, you know, like making sure that we're crossing that finish line, we're finishing what we're doing, and we go in with a goal and we're able to accomplish it.
I like that. Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great topic to talk about. There's lots of different variations of mindset that we can kind of get into. Cool.
Agreed.
Why don't you start us off and give us some more background or things that you kind of think about when it comes to mindset during your exercise? I know you do a ton of different stuff. So do you think about different things going into different types of exercise, or what, like, let us into your head a little bit.
If we're talking about while we're working out, there's definitely going to be different mindsets that you're going to have to kind of dive into to accomplish what you're doing. So if we are referring to CrossFit, a lot of the time is just trying to overcome the mind telling you that this hurts too much or you can't breathe, you know, like that intensity level, making sure that we can overcome that. Like, yes, we're going to be okay. We've trained for this. We can do it. There's the mindset when we're doing gymnastics, that I have to be focused on one singular thing. And for that, it's usually because of safety. So going into trusting the process that we've done the appropriate amount of reps and that my body knows what to do and just staying focused on that. And that can be tough when you're in a environment that's really loud or there's a lot of stuff going on. You have to have that kind of tunnel vision. And then the other thing that I do often is running. So when I run, a lot of time it's just the mindset of me committing to the longer duration, you know, whether it's 2 or 3 hour run, that can play mind games with folks. And, you know, for me, when I run, I like to just either run with podcasts or some kind of like really dramatic music. But overall, it's just about believing that what I'm doing is fun. You know, like if you go in with a 2 or 3 hour run ahead of you and you're like, this is going to suck and you have a bad attitude, it's never going to be great.
Yeah. Do you have a difference in like training mindset versus competition mindset? Because it sounded like some of the stuff, you know, when you talk about CrossFit, you're like, you got to get ready for the intensity of the suck. And in gymnastics, you were like, you have to think about that singular skill. Is there something different that you think about during training that versus competition, or are they kind of the same?
They, in my opinion, you should really be practicing the way that you want to compete. And if we're going to speak about gymnastics particularly, it can be hard to simulate that environment in practice because it can be a laid back environment, but you have to train as if you're going to compete, you know? And I think a coach's job is to create a lot of noise or things that could take your focus away. And one thing that we would do in gymnastics is,
whoa, that's cool.
If I was going to do a floor routine, the entire gym would either gather around the floor and just scream and yell and just try to create as much chaos. So it really focuses me to just be with myself. And I think that's where I've learned to do a lot of my running or workouts without any music. Because I don't care if I have music or not. Like, I've been able to create an inner dialogue with myself, especially on a long run. I am not driven by or need to have some kind of certain music. You'll have people in the gym say, I need this kind of music, or I need music who's going to pump me up. But I feel like if you are really honed in mentally, then that stuff is really unnecessary. It's nice to have it, I guess, but I don't hear music when I do a CrossFit workout. I don't hear what's going on. Like, I'm so involved in what I'm doing and talking to myself and trying to focus and either tell myself it's not really hurting that bad or I can do this, counting reps or whatever. I don't need that external stimulus to drive me. And I feel like when I am trying to encourage members to take the focus away from whatever external and go within, that I'm trying to help them be stronger mentally, because there's going to be times when you're in a situation, whether it's a competition or you're in a different gym or music's not working. You know, we've all been there where, hey, the stereo's not working for a moment. The first 10 minutes, we're not working out with music. We're trying to get our Bluetooth set back up or whatever's happening. And, you know, being able to really focus on what you're doing versus needing other little things to get you through it is...
Yeah.
It's part of having a really strong mindset.
That's actually super interesting. And I've never really thought about that. And now I'm like curious to kind of see how I would do it. It sounds like you've had intentional distraction.
Yes.
And that's helped you build a better mindset for when you're working out. And I'm like trying to think, has there ever been like times that I put myself in a situation that's like been intentionally distracting in order to try to get better at blocking out the external. And I don't know if I can recall something. And I wonder if that would be like a fun, or like if it would be super overwhelming for me to try to do something like that.
That's interesting that you say that, because I'm thinking in CrossFit and Olympic lifting, everyone's like, shh, let them go. Or they'll cheer them on, but there's not a purposeful distraction created. Yeah. But if we're going to train for how an environment's going to be, whether it's going to be a lot of people cheering or whatever, then that probably should be something that you practice in your gym if you're going to be competitive, because you're going to go to a competition and there's going to be a lot of external just stimulus noise going around you. And if you're not prepared, because competing is different than practicing, and if you're not putting yourself in that position, we'd call our turns pressure sets in gymnastics. So for example, like the girls, when they're doing beam routines, like, okay, we're doing pressure sets. So everybody has a routine to hit. If you don't hit this routine, this is the consequence. And we may be like doing two extra ones, or if everybody hits, nobody has to do a second routine or something like that. You're doing something to where everybody knows that, hey, we're not blaming one person, because it's meant to challenge you mentally.
Yeah.
You're putting yourself in a situation that it's a do or die, because when you go to competition, especially gymnastics, you get one turn and that's it.
Yeah.
You can make all your practice or your warm-up turns, but if you don't do it when the time is there, then something's missing. And so I have a lot of experience with that.
Man, I kind of like that. I kind of want to start incorporating that into some of our CrossFit training. It was like inside of a class, kind of bring in like, hey, everybody gets an opportunity to try this lift. If you don't make the lift, then everybody's got to do something as a consequence of it. And so it's a little bit more pressure. And like, you know, exactly what you said, it's not like no one's going to be blaming anybody else. Like the consequence is kind of, there's not a serious consequence. It's not like your mom is dying because you didn't.
Well, you'll see people completely crumble under that pressure. They can't handle it. And as soon as they're put in that position, then they fail. And that's just something, then, you know, like mentally they work on that. But it's tough though. Like, to give a consequence, we have to be mindful of the people who's participating. We don't want it to seem like punishment, and that's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like, hey, there has to be some kind of consequence, because otherwise it's no pressure. So then, you know, for folks out there, it's a fine line. I'm not going to force everyone to do burpees or run because they don't make it, but maybe like we're doing this as we would do one thing for the boys. We would do pressure sets on mushroom. Everybody gets one turn to do as many circles as you can. The team that has the most circles wins. That's a pressure set. You get one turn. And a lot of kids would get up there, they do their first circle, and though they could usually do 25 plus circles in a row, they do one and they fall off because they can't handle everybody. So probably a more positive way to define that pressure set, because the consequence is you get the one turn and no one's getting punished, quote unquote.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. There, you got to be very mindful about if you're going to pressure test, being intentional with talking about, hey, the reason for this is growth and building some sort of like mental fortitude for this. The reason for this is not to provide negative consequences for this, or to like say that you're not good enough for this sort of thing. So I see exactly where you're going there. Is like, that could potentially be taken in a negative light if approached the wrong way.
But you could do this in a CrossFit class. Hey, everybody get 10 minutes to warm up a clean. At 10 minutes, everybody goes one time. And two teams, like, you know, we have a gym where we have the rig separated in the middle. Team A is on one side, team B, and you go 1-1. Someone on team A goes, someone on team B goes. And at the end, you add the numbers up, and whoever has the most weight, they win. That's the way you can do it.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Ooh, some
new meddling. Challenge.
All right. Yes.
So you, in talking about mindset, you had a different version of mindset that you wanted to discuss.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to talk about like mindset when it comes to getting into health and wellness, and like what kind of mindset is going to help you win in this overall game. And some things came to mind when I talk about mindset. For me, I'm not necessarily thinking about the actual event, but potentially like all the things that are leading up to the exercise. My mindset is significantly better when I'm already there and doing it. The hard part for me is the motivation, the getting there, the showing up again, all the other things. And so I kind of wanted to talk about a finite game versus an infinite game. And in my opinion, the best way to have the mindset you need to have is thinking about an infinite game that you are playing. And first thing I'll do is kind of explain the difference between a finite game and an infinite game. But in a finite game, there's a clearly defined endpoint where there's winners and losers. In the infinite game, all parties are working to keep the game in play. So there are no winners and losers, but rather those that drop out of the game due to the lack of will or the lack of resources to continue. The primary objective is to keep playing. The best possible outcome in an infinite game is that you end your turn, happy with your progress in it. So that's kind of something that I try to think about when I'm thinking about, like, hey, are my training sessions going well? Are my goals that I'm making going well? Like, the mindset that I have to have is like, there is no endpoint to these things, but rather like, I'm trying to figure out how I can play another day, play another day, play another day, play another day. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we can probably categorize a population of people within infinite and finite in those two groups, right? Like, couldn't we what put, the infinite could be just everybody who's just working out and they're going to do, they're not like trying to be at one weight for one specific day, like an actual maybe competition where you're going in that day and that it has a beginning and an end in like a period of time and then it's over. But like for the majority of us who either aren't competing or are trying to just be fit, it's infinite because you're ever growing. There's always progress and there's never, unless you decide, I don't want to ever work out again. is that correct?
Yeah. You were like exactly spot on right there. Like, you think about the athlete's mindset, let's say in a CrossFit realm, is like, hey, I need to win this competition, or I got to do well at this competition. Or like there's defined rules for the competition and you're aware of them. And the goal, the objective is to win the competition. And so it creates expectations and it creates like parameters that you're making all of your other decisions by. Now there's like arguments for like, hey, in what situations should I arrange the rest of my life around a finite game? Mm-hmm. In my opinion, there are ways that you should definitely be arranging your life around the finite game. And those are professional athletes.
Yes. They're getting paid.
When you are getting paid to play finite games, like you better be changing all of the other decisions in your life based on, you know, the finite game, the winning, the being the best at it, every decision that's being made for it. And then there might even be a middle category of that, or like for an aspiring professional athlete as well. And that's got to be somebody who definitely knows their direction. They know full well that this is something that they want to do, and they know the consequences, positive and negative consequences, of taking this action towards the finite game. And then there's like a third category of people who are like, I do this for fun to be healthy, but I'm also competitive. And it's like, maybe you should be in the infinite game and not in the finite game. And play mini series, right, of finite mm-hmm. games. But think about, hey, I'm in the infinite game for this piece of life. And I think when we talk about the infinite game as well, there's so all of this is coming from a Simon Sinek book that he wrote that's called, lo and behold, The Infinite Game. But there's five principles for the infinite mindset. And I really liked these five things as well, because it puts you on that path to like look past like certain points and look at like the horizon. And instead of thinking like, hey, I got to get here, it helps you like raise your eyes to a horizon. So he kind of talks about the five different principles, and those five different principles are: number one, to exist to further a just cause; to number two, build trust in teams. Number three, find worthy rivals or opponents. Number four, display existential flexibility to make extreme strategic shifts. And number five, to find the courage to lead with an infinite mindset. So kind of a lot going on in there. But one of the things that I really like on there is the finding worthy rivals as something that you like. You don't want to play a game where you are just you're winning, you're dominating, you're beating everyone every single time. The other side of that too is like nobody wants to play the game with you if you are crushing everybody else. So I thought that was like a really fun thing to think about is like, hey, you want to find some rivals, you want to find some things, some people that are like similar to your level to push you towards. And then the other thing was being able to make strategic existential flexibility to make extreme strategic shifts. That sounds like a bunch of
gobbledygook.
Yeah, like fancy wording. In my head, when I hear something like that, you got to be able to change your strategy. Like if something isn't working, say it's okay to change it. And I think that is sometimes overlooked when we think about mindset. We're like, oh, I have to do this. 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 Instead of like taking a step back and like thinking, hey, should I be changing my direction? Should I be going a different direction with this? So I think having an infinite mindset allows you to have that flexibility to change the plan. Where if you're playing the infinite game, that might not changing the plan might not be an option. You're like, it's too late for me to change the plan.
Right. Well, I would argue that there are some people who want to always be winning, but I think that they would be opposed to seeking out either different gyms or populations of people that would challenge them because they are afraid they wouldn't be good enough.
So they're
putting themselves in the position where like, I'm always the best, but then you offer them, okay, well, why don't you go to either this group or try a different gym where everyone's better than you or more people are better? Would they take that risk and say, I actually want to be better? I'm going to take that jump. And that's an interesting question because I know people who would just say, oh, no, I'm fine where I'm at because I'm the best here.
Yeah. I think that's an amazing test and basically mindset, right? Like, hey, how strong is your mindset? If you're not willing to go be challenged by something, like maybe there's some work to be done in your mindset and you have so much more potential for being able to do other things that you're not even unlocking.
Yes.
So I like that a lot. What about like, we could talk about a bunch of different like resources for getting a better mindset. We've talked about different strategies or things that we do, inside the gym or principles for mindset. But we want to be able to maybe give our listeners a little bit of info or even like a test for some sort of mindset. Hey, can they go and do this, some sort of test on their own to kind of see where they're at? Are there resources that we can give them as well for that sort of thing?
Okay. So I found on positivepsychology.com, there is a test that we're going to take, but I'm going to describe what it's testing. They have two different categories they're placing people in. Either you have a growth mindset, and that is individuals who believe their talents can be developed either through hard work, good strategies, and or input from others, or they have a fixed mindset, and that means that they were born with an innate ability to do something, and that's all they got. All right. So you can kind of just already, by hearing those definitions, kind of understand, we're trying to either find the people who are willing to try new things and believe that they can learn something new, or people who maybe aren't willing to go away from what they either have always done or feel like is something that they would not be able to learn. And I feel like that fixed could be, you know, whether you, maybe you're an older person and you've always done cardio, and then you're 50 years old and someone says, why don't you try something like CrossFit, or we do
or strength training
or strength training. And then they have to either reconcile it's something they can learn regardless of the age, or it's something that it's not something they've ever tried, so they don't believe they would be good at it.
Interesting.
So we're going to put you through a little test here.
Great. Well, I hope some people will call me out in comments if I give answers that don't align with what I actually do or believe.
Okay. Kira, that one was for you. Okay. All right. So Colby, I'm going to give you a mindset assessment. The definition here says our mindset exists on a continuum from fixed to growth. And although we'd like to always have a growth mindset, the reality is that we can only be on a journey to a growth mindset. The goal is to recognize fixed mindset elements in ourselves and then reflect on feedback and strategies for how to improve. So this quiz has some questions that I'll ask you. And then at the end, I'm going to get a result from you. Okay.
Great. Is this multiple choice?
This is multiple choice.
Great.
So you're going to either disagree a lot, you'll disagree a little, agree a little, agree, and agree a lot. So it's a little subjective. So
okay. Great.
Question number one.
This for all our listeners too, so they can go do it?
Yeah. So I'm going to create a link for this quiz if you guys want to do it later on your own. Question one, no matter how much intelligence you have, you can always change it a good deal.
Agree.
You can learn new things, but you cannot really change your basic level of intelligence.
Read that one again.
You can learn new things, but you cannot really change your basic level of intelligence.
Disagree.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like my work best when it makes me think hard.
Strongly agree.
I agree a lot. Okay. I like my work best when I can do it really well without too much trouble.
Agree. Agree a little.
Number five, I like work that I'll learn from even if I make a lot of mistakes.
Agree.
I like my work best when I can do it perfectly without any mistakes.
Disagree. Strongly. I make a lot of mistakes.
Yes, you do. All right. When something is hard, it just makes me want to work more on it, not less.
It depends on my mood. More times than not, if something is hard, I want to work on it less. Doesn't mean I work on it less, but I want to work on it less.
Okay, so agree a little.
Yeah.
Number eight, to tell the truth, when I work hard, it makes me feel as though I'm not very smart.
Disagree strongly.
All right, we're going to submit his answers and get a feedback. All right, I have the results from Colby's mindset quiz. His results say that he understands that his intelligence is something that you can increase. You care about learning and you're willing to work hard. You do want to do well, but you think it's more important to learn than it is to always score well. This is what we call the growth mindset. Even though you have a good foundation, there are some areas where you could benefit from learning how to cultivate your growth mindset practices. For example, you may seek challenges and perform at a high level, but sometimes feel uncomfortable with criticism, even if well-intended. How very interesting. We're going to come back to that one. Or be rather hard on yourself when you do make mistakes. You may have more potential than you're using. People who believe that they can increase their intelligence through effort and challenge actually get smarter and do better in school, work, and life over time. They know that mental exercises make their brains grow smarter, the same way that exercises makes an athlete stronger and faster. They are always learning new ways to work smart and build their brains. A growth mindset is something that you can continue to develop throughout life. So I think that's a pretty accurate description, don't you think, of yourself?
Yeah, I think that was pretty fair.
Awesome. Anything stick out to you about what it says?
I mean, obviously, I think something stuck out to you. It's hard to hear that, you know, it's hard to be good at getting criticism. But I think understanding that it's part of growing and learning. And it's also hard to like make big mistakes too. But the hard part is it's got to understand that it's part of learning. But those are not things that I particularly enjoy, is criticism or making mistakes, even though I understand that they are part of the process.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm curious to at some point see what your results are.
I will do this one later on and send you the results. I'm also interested because I feel like a lot of the things that I feel like we have a lot of similar beliefs and we do things very similar. That's why I kind of understand when you do certain things like, oh, I've done that before and I've worked on that. And so I'm really worried what mine's going to say because there's a couple of the questions that I would have said completely different. Like I really like doing things that I'm not good at and I will do it over and over again because it becomes a challenge for me when I can't do something well. I'm going to keep doing it and fail and fail and fail. And then when I can do it, I'm like, look at what I can now do.
Yeah.
I'm not easily swayed away from something from failure. So, but yeah,
that's good. Okay.
But I will include this in the show notes. So folks, you'll take this test. It's free. It will ask you to put in your email address, but it will send you the results and, you know, find out if you have a growth mindset.
Great. I want to finish by giving a couple more maybe cheap/free resources for people to go and take a look at as well. We've got some friends, Dusty and Cecily, they run a company called Skull and Bone Society where they can help people live with the end in mind. I think it's memoti memorum or something like that, which means live with the end in mind. And I think a lot of that has to do with mindset and figuring out like, hey, who are you? Who do you want to be? And where do you want to go? I think that knowing those things really helps with developing some sort of mindset. So we're going to put some of their free/online courses in the description today as well.
Yes.
One of them is the Anchor course, How to Lead a Values-Based Life. That is $25. And we'll leave a link for it. The other one is the Personal Narrative Project. And it's also an ebook that it's $20. And that's a 23-page little booklet, that you use to journal and reflect and kind of, create a journaling experience or exercise, that'll kind of help you look at some key experiences of things in your past in your life and kind of help you look towards the future.
That's cool.
Yeah. And they've got a ton of other stuff as well, but I thought those were a couple of little mindset, pieces that were free/cheap that could be super useful for some people.
Yeah. Thank you for including that.
Yeah. Are you giving me a thumbs up? No, you're giving me a finger.
Both.
That's great. I think that was a very, very helpful episode, humbling episode for sure. Hearing some things.
I think that the overall goal should be for everybody to realize that there's so much more potential in all of us. You just have to have the right mindset to either approach or attack whatever it is you want. But we have so much, so much potential in ourselves. So go out there and do what you want to do.
Yeah. I think the last thing I'll put out too is like, even people who look like they have it all together and they look like they're hard things are not hard for them and they have the best mindset, like it might not be easy for them to make those decisions. It might be other things that they're struggling with as well. And maybe you don't see them. So
yeah, they may make it look, their talent may be that they make that kind of stuff look way easier than it actually is, you know?
Yeah. So I think somebody who says, oh, I could never be that person, or I could never do this, or I could never do that, kind of buys into that thought of like, you know, somebody else, it's way easier for somebody else than it is for me. So yeah.
We will be back with a second additional podcast tonight, where we are going to review the second workout of the CrossFit Open 24.2. We have a special guest coming on, and I think that the special episodes are great. You guys love all the extra stuff we're giving you.
Yeah, I got awesome, awesome feedback from everybody last week who said that they loved watching the extra episode, having some strategy, even just having like a little bit different cadence on the podcast than what we normally talk about. And like learning from some new people. So
awesome.
We've got Jeremy Cousins from CrossFit Thousand Oaks coming on this week. We're excited to kind of talk to him about some of the things that he does, some predictions for the Open, some strategy from him, and then you know, some information about CrossFit TO.
All right.
We'll see you tonight.
See you later. Bye, everybody. Emmanuel, that was so good. Go again.
3, 2, 1. Ah.